All right, we're in online services world. Please introduce yourself for people who don't know you.
I'm Dave Thompson. I've been at Microsoft almost 20 years now. Wow. I started in the NT group. I started the networking group back in 1990. And then worked in Windows for 7 releases. I was the vice president of Windows Server 2003.
Nice.
So I've always been a server guy. In my group, we developed IIS, the first version, the file service, Active Directory.
Wow.
The distributed services infrastructure. And then I moved to run the Exchange group for Exchange 2007 release. During that time, we acquired FrontBridge, which became Exchange Hosted Services. Mm. That was my own first foray into online services. And then we formed this team called Business Online Services. And so now I'm responsible for Microsoft Online, which is driving the delivery of all our business software as online services, as an option for our customers.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, what are some of the, clearly, what are some of the engineering challenges with taking, stuff that used to come shrink wrap that you'd have to manually deploy on servers in the enterprise, for example, to these sort of distributed services in the sky?
Well, there are challenges certainly around taking a piece of software and designing it. In our case, because of our software plus services strategy, it's a challenge to have the same piece of core software used for both a deployment by a customer, where they will operate it, and then deployment by us in high scale for many, many customers. There's all sorts of things you do around engineering for automatic failover and scaled deployment and things like that. There are places where we're re-architecting for multi-tenancy as the software originally was designed to be deployed for a single organization. But to me, the coolest thing, because I've been involved in product development for a long time, actually about 30 years. I started, The first thing I worked on were VAX clusters, which, I can still ask people in a room when I speak if they've heard of VAX clusters. And, I'll get, 20 or 30% of the people will say yes. But the thing that I think is so cool about working on services is we take a much broader responsibility for our customer's problem, right? A product is really just a small slice of a solution to a customer. And if you're an IT person, you know this, right? Because buy the server, and then you figure out how to deploy it. You figure out how to get any client bits to your end users. When they have problems, they contact you. If you buy multiple products to put together in a solution, you have to figure that out. Because we take this much more end-to-end solution, really, in the case of BPOS, for a suite of our products, we apply our engineering to a much broader set of problems. Some of the problems are not necessarily technically complex, but when you apply engineering to them to drive down the cost of support or enable users to self-help, okay, or IT professionals to help. To help their end users successfully use the service. Applying our engineers to those problems produces a much, much better result. I've been an engineer all my professional career, and I have the firm belief that engineers can solve any problem as long as you point them at the right problem.
Fair enough.
And the right problem is enabled by the networks we have now. And our data center capability, the right problem is to solve as much of the customer's use of our software as is possible.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like this is essentially a fundamental change in software, right? As these online hosted distributed services, what are some of the challenges that, you're an engineer, right, that you're facing with, as imagine a world where this is just the de facto model. People just buy the service and expect it to work and expect their data not to be lost and their data to be secure. It adds a lot of burden to us.
Sure. Well, when you look at a service, any piece of you quickly gain respect for the fact that any piece of data, you need to think carefully about how you provide continuity where you never lose it. You keep it up to date across geographically dispersed data centers, for example. And then as you add customers, as you add lots of small customers, as you add large customers, you know, how do the different facets of the system scale with that, with large tenants, with small tenants, as we say. And how do you implement different service plans for the different right customers? How do you drive costs down? How do you make sure that any kind of failure, okay, not just and not just have redundancy of data, but any kind of failure, you know, you transparently recover from and recover under software control? I mean, the kind of looking at the different people's roles and services helps you understand what some of the engineering is. You really, when a human being has to respond in real time to keep the service running, okay, that is by definition a fault in the service. Mm. Okay, the service should recover. Well, and obviously when you start out, you won't have that perfect, you know. So one of the key things is that you have to enable an environment where you can rapidly update and evolve the design, okay? Mm. Because as you learn things, you need to feed those changes back in, right? When you get one of these things where, you know, where you have to respond and reconfigure things around a failure, the next thing you do is go back and re-engineer the service so it recovers itself next time.
Excellent.
Right? So that's certainly one of the things that you know, driving cost out is critical, you know, which is, you know, which is all about, really, about removing the human cost. You know, one of the things that's important to us is providing a very high quality experience. Well, it actually, again, thinking about the problem end to end, it goes beyond just software. Okay, it involves support. So we provide, you know, phone support, for example, for customers. And when you first deploy the service, that's more expensive, right? Because people call, you know, because things may happen with their use of the service. You may have service outages in the worst cases, but it's around. They may be confused about how to use the service.
Sure.
All those things actually turn into the biggest cost because the support provided by humans ends up being one of the biggest costs as you've driven down operational costs. So then you look at that and say, all right, why is somebody confused, right? And how do I eliminate that confusion? How do I simplify? All of those are just engineering problems. But engineering problems where you look at the whole system, from the people that use it, the people that deploy it, the partners that help deploy it. So, you know, I talked about the support role, essentially, you know, where you look at what they're doing and work to reduce the amount of work they need to do to take on a larger and larger set of customers. Talk about operations and end users, you know, where they can help themselves and do the things that they need to do, you know, to customize their use of the service. You know, so they don't have to do more than that. They just do the things that empower them, okay? And they don't, you know, they intuitively can tell what to do with everything else. So then partners, for example, in the form of developers, right? And developers benefit. Excuse me.
No problem. You're a vice president. You must get unbelievable amounts of mail. Yeah. And they come in at like really rapid succession.
They do sometimes. The other morning, I got up about 5:30. I read my email. I went to work and caught up. Went to work out with my trainer. So from 6 to 7. At 7 a.m., I checked my mail again. And I had like 18 or 20 messages, and that was from 6 to 7 a.m. in the morning. Right? The day hadn't even started yet.
Right? Insane.
Anyway, the thing I was going to say is you know, in the same way, people that build applications that run on our server products, for example, you know, what we've done is simplify their lives because they can focus on writing the applications but just deploy them on the service. Right, the platform in the cloud should be the same as the platform that's available if you deploy a server on premises, as we say, and that leads to other technical challenges. Right, when you take a server platform where you know a customer runs their own instance of it, runs the application on it, if the application has faults in it, right, that cause it to consume excess resources or things, you know, they're the ones impacted by it. Okay. And In fact, though, when you run multiple people or multiple tenants, multiple customers on a server, on a service, mm-hmm. okay, essentially on a server deployed in a service configuration, well, it's important that those, you know, that one customer can't impact other customers, right?
Yes.
So you have to put extra engineering into the server so it can be deployed as a service and isolate customers and still give them the full programmability of the platform. So there's lots of great engineering challenges. Like I said, just have to point the engineers at the right problem.
Certainly. So. I mean, and you're an OS guy, I mean, obviously. And, I mean, that on Windows, I mean, Windows is successful because of our partner ecosystem, one could argue, right? And
right.
People have built apps on top of our platform.
Right.
And so one of the things that isn't especially clear, at least in my mind, is is the role of partners shifting to meet this new age of distributed services that we manage? I mean, because they're going to want to build their business models on top of our
right.
distributed
right.
service platform. How does that actually work?
That's a great question. It's always one of the first things that comes up, because our model is actually that our customers can run the software, our partners can run the software. We've had hosting programs, licensing programs, and technical programs for years. And that under the name of Online, mm-hmm. okay, that we can run the software. And the thing that is changing, though, is that partners who will take our software and run it in what I'll call a common commodity configuration or service, you know, their business will shift. Okay, their business will shift because that's what we're going to do. That's what we are doing with Online. It's a very healthy thing, okay, in the sense that, you know, we become responsible for making our software run well, okay. When we do that, by the way, there will still be partners that run our software in hosted configurations, say with particular industry or geo requirements or customized configurations. They, you know, the benefits that we build into the software for making it run as a service accrue to them. It also accrues to the customers. But the partner value add generally shifts up. Okay, the first time I was involved with this at Microsoft was actually back in 1991, I guess, when I ran that networking group. You might remember that TCP/IP back then was an option for Windows. Okay, people bought Windows and they bought some third party stack. And those stacks had different interfaces. They were unreliable because it was tough to write reliable drivers and integrate them into Windows. And so my group built the TCP stack then for Windows NT, for Windows work groups back then, and Windows 95. And by putting the TCP stack in the operating system, it simplified a lot of things. I mean, in some sense, I think that the growth of the internet might have actually been delayed some if we hadn't done that, right?
Sure.
Because it would have been much harder to build internet applications. Okay, but instead, when we put the trouble in the stack, it was reliable, it was easy to use, it was seamless because it was just built in. Well, there were partners who were in the TCP business, okay, and the ones that that moved up the stack, if you will, continued to be successful. There were others who said, no, this core technology is key. We can do that better. And they were less successful. It wasn't that we were way smarter than them. It was that we were doing the right thing, and we, in essence, moved up the value chain to the benefit of customers. Mm. We're essentially doing that here. And there is still the opportunity, you know, to build and extend, to build for a partner to build something specific to a business, which is what they really need. They need something that helps them be competitive. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a lot easier for partners to do that. Partners can do that for more customers. So we move them up to where they're, you know, the time they spent really contributes more value to customers. It's a natural evolution. Partners, you know, for deployment, helping build, you know, define, you know, whether they should deploy software in on-prem or use the in-cloud services. You know, I mean, we design our stuff so that you can use things in this hybrid configuration. You know, those are there's lots of room for partners to build and add value. Mm-hmm. In fact, another example, one of the first customers of our service was actually Energizer, and we've talked a lot about this before, but I met Randy, the CIO, and I distinctly remember him talking about his IT folks and how, you know, their jobs changed when we ran Exchange for them, when we ran SharePoint for them. And what happened, in fact, was the things they did were much more highly valued by other people in the business. Hmm. The year after they shifted and used online for their infrastructure services, you know, their presentation at the sales meeting that year was the most highly rated presentation. Hmm. It was because the IT folks had become heroes, right? For not simply running our software, but helping the business do valuable and competitive things with it instead.
Interesting.
So it's just a much better use of time. Huh. This is another phrase that somebody said to me early on in this process that really stuck with me was economies of skill. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
We developed the software. We developed the skills to run the software, and applying that across all our customers is something that just makes sense.
It's really, that's an excellent point. I never really thought of the notion of the impact this is going to have on the IT worker, actually, you know, broadening their impact on business.
Yeah. The businesses have only so much dollars, so many of the best IT people,
sure,
and developers, and if they don't have to spend them on just the basics. You know, because the basics, messaging, for example, messaging is a complex piece of infrastructure these days, right? With access from the PC, the web, and devices in secure and compliant and geo-redundant ways. I mean, for a business to go to that, you know, that expense or that extent and that use of intellectual capital, that's a big thing. When instead the same horsepower could be used to build line of business apps on top of that infrastructure. Right.
Absolutely.
And I met with, you know, small companies, large companies, where the CIO said, I would love to get my people out of the business of running Exchange, for example, and into, I remember a local pipeline service company that said, you know, I still do paper dispatch, right? I want to build mobile device dispatch of the people that do pipeline servicing, right? I mean, it was such a clear thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's an excellent point. I guess I just finally dawned on me what business productivity means. I mean, because I come from the engineering side,
right,
as well.
Right.
And you, of course, are business and engineering as a vice president.
Right.
But wow, it's just like we talk about with C# and managed code. It makes you more productive. You don't think about memory management.
Yep.
Well, now you can actually innovate your business on top of all the infrastructure we built.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really interesting. Now, how do you see this going? Would you say that cloud computing, if you will, and this distributed services in the sky, do you see it as like the Windows 3.1 that we are? I mean, we're clearly early in.
Yeah.
Everybody across the industry, this is early in this game.
Right.
What are your thoughts on?
Well, I would describe this more, it feels more like my days in NT, if you will.
Okay. Cool.
In NT, we were building what Windows is today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we were building it in a way that businesses could run on. It was state of the art. It was robust. You know, honestly, it's where we learned our first lessons as an enterprise, right? The things that are built into our software today are based on the lessons that we learned starting with NT and working through all the versions of Windows that came since then. You know, so that's what I think we're doing is we're building, and our goal in the Business Online Services Group is to build that world-class business platform, if you will, for our customers. The thing that's different, maybe it's not all that different as I think about it, is the breadth at which we're doing it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it is, you know, we are driving this change broadly across all our business software, and we're clearly a lot bigger as a company. We have a lot more customers of all these things than, you know, that we did back then. Even as Windows was very successful, this is still a much larger change. For me, that's the most exciting thing. Is this is It's such a fundamental and exciting change. You know, I am an engineer. Mm-hmm. I like to build things, but I've always liked to build things that people used. Okay, to me, if you have customers that use things, I mean, I like to be proud of the things. When you talk to people and they say, "Yeah, I use that," and I'm excited about it. I was excited about that back then. I'm excited about this now. You know, because when we make our software available this way, to small customers, to large customers, I mean, small customers simply couldn't use our software until it's available this way. It's just a very exciting thing.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to see how this evolves.
Yeah.
And I know you're very busy. Thank you for taking your time out, your busy schedule. And we will definitely check back in on this.
All right.
Good job.
Thanks a lot.
You.